This week, we're reflecting on the opioid crisis in Vermont, 5 years since then-Governor Peter Shumlin called for a statewide response to drug addiction. As part of our coverage, we're checking in with Vermonters who've experienced opioid addiction themselves. Today, Wayne Miller.
My name is Wayne Miller. I am a resident of White River Junction in the Upper Valley. I am the program manager for the Center for Recovery Resources in Claremont, New Hampshire. It's a peer-based recovery center that we just opened in July.
When Miller was in his teens, he started using substances, first alcohol, then prescription pills. After a few years, he started dealing drugs to fund his habit.
You know, there was some layer of, like, adventure to it, but, you know, it all stemmed back to just trying to self-medicate, you know, having issues with anxiety and PTSD and depression, and being able to use was a significant escape from all of those issues until it's not. Eventually the scales kind of tipped and then you're just depressed while you're using and your PTSD is triggered while you're using. So the symptoms are omnipresent regardless of use or not.
Miller later enrolled in the Community College of Vermont, really just to get the student loan money to buy drugs, he says. But then as an assignment for a class, he went to a 12-step meeting. And that changed something.
Yeah, it was people's stories. It was hearing their experiences. And that really, that's why I often cite that as the foundation for why I decided to do this work and why I believe in the power of people's stories and why I think it's really important to continue to have people with the lived experience at the table when decisions are being made about them, because that's what did it for me.
Through group meetings, Miller eventually got sober. And that work he mentioned is peer-based recovery. He got into it after graduating from CCV. Now he's a program manager at a recovery center in Claremont, New Hampshire.
People just kind of strolling in off the street asking what we can help them with. Usually start the dialogue about, you know, what's going on in your life today. And they're sharing their stories about their drug use, their dependence, their addiction beyond drugs. And we're sitting there looking at those resources for them, whether that's housing, getting assistance with food. Transportation is one of the majors. Getting into a medication-assisted treatment program, if that's the route that they want to go. Letting them know about other recovery peer support meetings that are in the area, such as AA, NA. And doing recovery coaching with them. So it's one-on-one kind of recovery planning. So looking at setting goals and breaking those goals down into small achievable milestones that we can work on with them.
And what kind of results have you seen from the people that you work with?
It's been pretty positive. I think that one of the biggest areas where I personally struggle with doing this work is getting the general community to understand that addiction exists beyond alcohol and other drugs. It exists beyond opiates. And sometimes that struggle transfers into the people that we're working with in the center, because I'm trying to dig deeper beyond, okay, you stopped using, but what else is going on? Like, what led you to get to that point in the first place?
And what do you often hear from people when you ask that question?
More often than not, there's some kind of trauma, traumatic experiences when they were young. So a lot of the addiction and poverty and mental health issues seem to be generational, particularly in the Claremont area.
And so you see some of the challenge there as being bringing an understanding to the public of those sort of generational traumas?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, you know, key, and I think that's what's missing by and large in the field.
And so what do you think a better approach is in terms of taking a wider view of addiction?
I think we need to take a step back. I think we need to go back before the opiate use. And one way to work on that, I think, is bringing more people to the table that have the experience, the lived experience, as people that have experienced addiction. So, you know, I sit at a lot of tables with Dartmouth and the Public Health Network and treatment providers, and it's not uncommon for me to be the only person at the table that's at least outwardly identifying as being in recovery. We should be looking at people actually in our communities that we're working in and asking them, what are your needs and how did you get to the place you're at today?
As someone who is in recovery, how do you approach talking to someone who is seeking counseling or treatment from you?
A lot of the times people are referred through probation or after they've been released from jail, or they're the family member of the person with the addiction. And I'm kind of assessing based on what they're telling me, I'm kind of looking for which thread can I pull to open up that conversation. And then it also depends on, are they recognizing there's an issue, or am I kind of waiting in that pool with them, waiting for them to recognize that?
And they might not want to be having that conversation, it sounds like.
Right. So usually it's, I need help with filling out this application for food stamps. I need help filling out this application for Medicaid. And so through that process, I'm using that as the in to sit there and fill out that application with them. And then some of the questions that you get asked on those applications prompt conversation. And a lot of the times, it's just as simple as saying, I'm a person in recovery. I have heard countless times that it's so much easier to talk to you, quote unquote, because you get it.
Do you feel like in general, compared to about 5 years ago, that public awareness or acceptance of addiction and recovery as a health issue has changed?
Yes and no. I think that one thing I am seeing more recently is almost that people are fed up with the conversation. It's like zombie movies, right? Like everybody's tired of it. It's like there's another one every other day. And with this, like, we're tired of talking about the opioid epidemic. And that's part of my thinking in that of how do we change the narrative and how do we change the conversation? Because I feel like I'm looking to the future where we worked so hard to talk about how do we change our language and to look at people as people and to look at it as a health issue and to view addiction as a disease. We're not looking just 5 minutes ahead at the backlash of that, where people are just over talking about it. And so that's why I think it's important to shift that conversation to kind of broaden it and open it up for people to say, well, what's your addiction? Let's remove some of the stigma there.
That's Wayne Miller. Our opioid series continues tomorrow with a look at the hub-and-spoke model, the system of addiction treatment that's spread across Vermont since Governor Shumlin's speech 5 years ago. For VPR News, I'm Henry Epp.